from in Hollywood. It's the Tom Likas Show.
Oh, God.
And now, here he is, Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where America gets together to talk about the issues you really care about. It's a different kind of a radio talk program. We're the radio talk show that is not hosted by a right-wing wacko or a convicted felon. No, I am your host. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You're going to need it. It's 1-800-5800-TOM. 1-800-5800-866. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of our program. Here we are together again on the radio. I got an email from, not a listener, I got an email from an ex. And I hesitate to call her an ex because she was never a girlfriend. This is somebody who I was banging prior to my last long relationship. So that would put it back about 5 years ago. 6 years ago. Yeah, long time ago. I was banging this chick. And here was the story on her. She was about 23 years old. She grew up in Texas, but she was born, the way I like them, in Venezuela. So she had that look. And she had come to L.A. as one of the, you know, freshly scrubbed future victims who come to town thinking they're going to embark on some kind of a singing, acting, dancing, something career. She was going to school, and her ultimate goal was, I think, to be an actress. And when I say an actress, not an actress in that stereotypical Hollywood way, you know, being in the movies and going on casting calls. No, no. I think she really wanted to be like a stage actress. Of course, why you would not go to New York is beyond me, but that's what she did. She went to L.A. and was going to school and was going to become an actress. That was her thing. And so, long story short, I would see this woman occasionally, bang the living crap out of her, and then send her off into the cool air of the Hollywood Hills. See ya. And this was somebody who I would see while I was seeing other people. And when I say while I was seeing other people, it was not while I was having a long-term relationship. She was just one of the rotation. She was a member of the bullpen. And what was interesting about her was that the whole time I had this arrangement with her of occasionally seeing her and having absolutely wild sex with her was I could tell that she wanted more out of this situation than she was ever going to get. And she was just persistent about it. Always asking me, are you happy living alone like this? Don't you, this is the last time I was living alone. Don't you ever say to yourself at night, I mean, is this all there is? A big house and all these toys? And I mean, don't you ever say to yourself, you know, it would be great to have, you know, like somebody who's there with you, supporting you and everything. Now, she would never actually pitch herself for the position. But every once in a while, you ever been one of those girls who cries after she has an orgasm? This was one of those. You know, she would like, you know, she'd have an orgasm and then she'd be like, oh, I just get the feeling that you're here, this big house all by yourself. Now, this girl later revealed in the course of my research, and that's what I call it, my research, when I ask them questions. They go open-ended questions, like they ask in a marketing focus group. ask an open-ended question, and then she would give me all kinds of information. And I found out that among her previous boyfriends, the love of her life was a guy who knew her every move, had every password to every email account she had, had the password to her voicemail. And when she first started seeing me, she was in the process of trying to leave him. Now, I didn't know this at the time, because it sounded like too much drama for me. But she would leave the house on some premise, see me, and then go back to him. And ultimately, she broke away. But she was sad about it. Like, she was sad to lose this guy who was constantly asking her where she was, who she was talking to, what she was doing. And in fact, he got physically violent with her on several occasions to hear her tell it. So when I heard that, I'm thinking, okay, I know what kind of guy she likes, the kind I always talk about. In fact, worse than the kind I always talk about, the guys who treat her like, I don't want to say crap, it's not adequate, the S word, okay? I'd say the S word if I could say it, but you know that word, and that's the kind of guy that she would fall in love with, a guy who treats her like the S word. That's right. Now, me, as much as I'm a jerk and an a-hole and all of that, I'm never, ever physically violent. I don't care who you're emailing or who you're chatting with online. If you've got a MySpace page, I'm not concerned about it. You know why? You know why I don't care? Because I don't want you asking me what I'm doing when you're not around. You can do whatever you like. Yeah, I'm the exact opposite of controlling. The exact opposite. This was someone who got turned down by being pinned up against the wall and threatened. That's what she was. And she came to me because she perceived, get this, she heard the Tom Likas show, and she perceived me, this is how bad it was with her boyfriend, she perceived me as some kind of safe haven. You know you're in trouble with Tom Likas, is your harbor of safety. In reality, I just banged her once in a while and then kicked her out the door. There was really nothing else going on. Once in a while, I'd visit her down to Redondo Beach, and I'd bang the crap out of her, and then I'd leave. There really was nothing more to it than that. But somehow, I could tell. You ever with a girl, and you can tell that she's starting to have feelings for you, that she's starting to think this is true love? And you know that all you care about is getting your piece of the action. You really don't care beyond that. So I could tell that she was starting to chafe. She never told me flat out that she was falling in love with me or she was crazy about me or anything like that. But the signs were there. They were there. Now, this is a delicious story, and it's a juicy story because it combines many elements of things I've talked about on the air, many of which are coming together in my head now as I'm finding out the latest information. This woman started seeing me when she was with the bad old boyfriend and finally broke away from him. And then she's one of these people who jumps from lily pad to lily pad. I think she was hoping to jump from that bad relationship into a bad relationship with me. But I wouldn't bite. And so as time went on, she started telling me about what she wants in her life. She's telling me, well, one day I'd like to have kids. Not now, but one day I'd like to have kids. So I've immediately crossed you off the list when you say that, okay? Kids, no. And she told me that one day she'd like to be married and have the white picket. Well, that's not going to happen. Cross that off right there. And the fact that you ever, ever, ever had a boyfriend who beat the crap out of you and that you stayed there, that you still love him, I love him. Check three. Done. That's not going to happen. So one day, this goes back almost 6 years. One day, I called her on the phone. And she said, can I call you back? I said, sure. And she called me back later. And she said, listen, no, it was kind of more like this.
Listen, I met a guy and I don't know how to tell you this, but I think I don't want to give up what we have, you know. I really like what we have. But, you know, this guy really, you know, he loves me. And I think it's going to go, like, you know, it's going to go somewhere. You know, I think something's really going to happen, you know. So I don't know what to tell you, you know. Like, I want to see you and all that. But, you know, I don't know. Well, why don't we just get together for a drink?
So we got together for a drink. And, of course, she banged me again. This is with the guy who loves her. She banged me again. But then later on, I made another phone call to her. And I guess it was booty call time. You know, it was late at night. And everybody else had been sleeping or doing their hair or having sex with somebody else or whatever. So I called her up. And here's what I got, okay? Ever make a call to somebody and get this response? Goes like this, okay? I call her and I'm like, hey, how's it going? And she says to me,
hey, don't ever call me on this number again. Don't ever call me, okay? I have a boyfriend. Don't ever, ever, ever call me on this number again. Ever. Okay? Just lose this number. Take it out of your phone. Delete me. Delete my email address. Don't write to me. Don't call me. I have a boyfriend, okay? I have a boyfriend. And you're calling me here. You're putting me in a very bad position. I don't want to see you, okay?
Now, it was just that instant that she turned on a dime, turned on me, and told me don't ever call her again. This is 100% true. This is not embellished in any way. I'm telling you exactly what happened. Now, what I thought was interesting about this, don't ever call me on this number again. Don't ever call me on this number again means the following, okay? Because I interpret women into English, as you know. Don't ever call me on this number again means that once again, she's with a controlling a-hole. And the controlling a-hole is like, all right, I got rid of all my numbers. Now you have to get rid of all your numbers. Now I'm going to give you the password of my phone. I want the password of your phone. And because she's in love, she does it. She gives him the password or the PIN number to her voicemail. So now if I call her phone, he might be checking the messages and then he might hear my voice on there. So I get that message. Don't ever call me again. Don't ever call me again on this number. And thing is, she didn't realize this was absolutely no skin off my nose. It was just another person who, went down to the bullpen, and I had to go to the minor league to bring up some young relief help. So, okay, fine. I'll never call her again. And I never did. Never did. Never called that number again. But in reality, ladies, instead of saying that phrase, don't ever call me again, or don't ever call me on this number again. That's really interesting, very telling. Somebody says, don't ever call me on this number again. It's almost like saying, well, if you have another number for me, like my work number or my mom's number, you can call me there, but just don't call me on this number anymore. You know why. But ladies, instead of saying that, why don't you say the truth, okay? Listen, I'm in a relationship with a controlling a-hole. I'm having incredible sex with this guy, and I don't want you to ruin it because I might, if I play my cards right, I might actually get this a-hole to marry me. So don't call me again. You might screw it up. Don't give me this don't call this number again. The truth is you have once again bunked down with a jerk who'll probably punch your face in. That's why I can't call that number again. Oh, if I call that number again, he'll beat the crap out of you. That's why I can't call that number again. All right, so I don't call the number again. And that's 2001 or 2002. That's how far back this goes. So the other day, this is 100% true. I am combing through the Viagra ads and the Cialis ads and the letters from Mrs. Mariam Abacha of Nigeria, who wants the PIN number to my bank account so she can transfer $37 million into my account. I'm combing through all these on tom@blowmeuptom.com. And whose name do I see? All these years later. That's right. It's her. And her email says, and I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. Her email says, I'm now living in North Carolina. But I've never stopped thinking about you. I would love to talk to you. Could you just write me back here? Or here's my number. She puts her number in there. Well, you know, once you tell me don't ever call you again, guess what? Be careful what you wish for, honey. I'm not going to call you again. So I'm online today. That's what brings me to this. I'm online today, and she is online today, and she sends me an instant message. The only thing she had from my past with her was my AOL address. That's all she had. And so she did not have a phone number, did not have an email address, because she had to delete all that stuff from her phone because the boyfriend made her do it, just like I suspected. And, of course, she tells me what happened. Well, I was with him for 4 years, but I just don't think he ever understood me. This is what she was telling me today. And then, of course, she is essentially laying the groundwork. How she's going to come back to Southern California or what, I haven't figured that part out yet. But she's laying the groundwork, like trying to figure out if there's anything there. Like I've been sitting here frozen in time since 2001, hanging by my thumbs by the telephone waiting for this phone call to come in. She doesn't understand that since that time I had a 3.5-year relationship. I have been banging half Los Angeles white pages. I've been having a great time. While she's been busy getting her head banged in by some other guy. And the letter she sent and the message today, the instant message, full of all these things. I was too chicken to tell you I loved you at the time. I didn't think you wanted more. I wanted more. And then I had a boyfriend, but he didn't understand me. So what's happened, of course, in the course of time, and this is all I can think about, and I am telling you the balls-out truth here, okay? What has happened here, over the course of time, when I met this girl, she was in her early 20s, and she was in college, and she was studying dramatic arts, and she was Venezuelan with those big brown Venezuelan knockers that were just like, oh my God, I had dreams about them. They were so fantastic, okay? I mean, I just keep thinking about, that's all I can think about. They were so fantastic. They were just amazing. I think Dean saw her one time when she was waiting for me in front of my house when she was stalking me at my home. I think Dean dropped me off one night and she was there stalking me. And she needed sex, and so she's waiting in front of my house for me to come home one night. I gave it to her. Then I kicked her the hell out. But she's like trying to lay the groundwork here, and all I can think of is this. She was 22 or 23 when I met her, fresh off the boat from Texas. And now, she's like 32 years old. And not only is she 32 years old, but she's been ridden over a few speed bumps by various guys in the meantime. Like, sister, what makes you think that I've been hanging around here now waiting for this depreciating asset to pull back into my driveway? I'm curious. I mean, did you really think we had something there? And now you think you're going to pull that depreciating asset back into my driveway and I'm going to pay all the maintenance costs when I could get a brand new, fresh model with the smell of Corinthian leather? Do you really think I'm sitting here waiting for your call? I mean, what kind of ego is that? Women think their vaginas are invincible and irresistible. And I guess they think that we think like women do. Like we sit there going, my God. It's the best it ever was. This woman was telling me stuff I couldn't believe. You have to understand, I was not in love with her. I did not want to move in with her. I never discussed moving in with her. Marriage, love, being a boyfriend, nothing. And she's saying these to me, you cared about me more than any of the others. Any of the others. That is really, I must say, that's flattering. I cared about you more than any of the others. Not only did I not care about you as much as you thought I did, which is like not at all. But there's a compliment for you, you know. You had sex with all the others. But now after having sex with all these different guys, you've decided that I cared about you more than the others. So now that you have, you know, got 100,000 miles on the odometer, now you ring me up to see if I'm interested in buying a used car. Especially a car that I once could have owned and had no interest in owning at the time. So my response to that was, you know, I wasn't that interested then. I was just interested in getting the occasional Bronski and getting the hell out of there. There was just nothing else going on there, okay? And the real truth is that you, if you're listening, you like guys who overpowered you, who controlled you, who dictated your every move, who checked your email for you, who probably spied on your computer on you, who pinned you up against the wall once in a while and gave you a knuckle sandwich. These are the kinds of guys that you fall in love with. But you tell me that I was the one who cared the most. How sick does that make you? I'm the one who cared about you the most, and you kept going with guys who kept giving you a knuckle sandwich. I don't get it. But I do get it, because so many of the women are friggin' psychotic. But I must say that I enjoyed this immensely, because she had to eat crow. And now here she is, 32, unmarried, no children, no house with a white picket fence, nothing. She's 32 and living in North Carolina somewhere. Probably up to 175 pounds by now, because you know that those women get. They start getting north of 30. You know what happens. Phew. Yep. And I'm thinking to myself, this is great. Because there's a new crop of 23-year-olds out there. All hoping that they're going to meet Prince Charming, who's going to fall in love with them. And they meet me, and I just go with the flow. I go with the goddamn flow. I don't go with women named Flo, because they're all 60 years old, but I go with the flow. You know what I mean? And I don't really generally say I want a girlfriend, or I'm lonely, or I'm falling in love. I don't buy gifts. I don't spend money. I really do the things I tell you I do. And isn't it amazing? They all come back. And in fact, I've got a roster of women who keep coming back. After marriages, after boyfriends, after abusive relationships, they keep coming back. I mean, I'm thinking about them. I'm envisioning their faces now, okay? One of them is 38 years old. Two of them are 35 years old, okay? These are all women I knew in their 20s. One of them's in her 40s. I knew her in her 20s. A woman in her 40s drunk dialed me recently. This is absolutely true. A woman in her 40s who I once dated when I knew her in her 20s. I'm not kidding. She called me late at night on a drunk dial and she said to me, "We're probably going to end up together one day. You know that." I mean, you know that you and I are the only people who could stand us. You can subtract me from your list here. Not going to happen. I don't want to own an antique shop. You know what I'm talking about, darling? I don't like to go to the classic car auction. Bottom line. But you see, by not being a little boy and falling in love with all these pieces of ass, I can enjoy the constant poon parade. You know, the women who come into my life, then they don't get what they want. Then they fall in love with a guy who tells them he loves them. He tells the lie that I won't tell. He says, "I love you." Or he shows them all kinds of attention, flowers and dinners and all that stuff that you suckers and pussies out there lay upon all these chicks. Only to have these women later, in the later stages of these bad relationships, calling me on the phone. I get these calls all the time.
"He doesn't understand me. Come on, why don't we just go have a cup of coffee?"
I love getting these calls. I love it. I love it. Tell me this. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? Have you ever gotten these phone calls? Do you have these women calling you back after they left you for somebody else? And being arrogant enough to think you've been waiting for their call?
Tom Likas. 1-800-5800-TOM.
Jesus Christ, Tom, it's great to talk to you.
The Tom Likas Show.
Woo! The Tom Likas Show at 1-800-5800-TOM. I love the chicks who call you. After they say,
"Don't ever call me again. Don't ever call me on this number. I have a boyfriend, for God's sake."
This is D on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, Mr. Likas, how's it going?
Hey, yay, yay.
Yeah, Tom, I can relate to what you're talking about. I've had a few of them, but one in particular, man, she used to talk. We had her thing going on, and, you know, she went and got herself a boyfriend. I didn't hear from her for a while. Her number even changed. But then I didn't even have her number anymore. And then it's funny, when things went wrong with her boyfriend, all of a sudden, out the blue, who do you know, phone call.
Well, you see, women call me all the time and criticize me for my bullpen concept. But guess what? You were in the bullpen as far as she was concerned.
Oh, yeah.
As far as she was concerned, you were warming up in the bullpen in case her boyfriend didn't work out for her.
That's funny. I found it pretty funny, too. Pretty hilarious.
I love it.
She called me back up crying and, you know, hollering and, oh, you know, I just hate going through all this and blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, who put a gun to your head to go through all this, for Christ's sake?
Yeah, really.
Wasn't you.
Then no, that's not even the only one. There's a few of them, you know. I used to have their time. They get into a little fight with their boyfriend. All of a sudden, I get that magic phone call.
This chick, by the way, had the nerve. When I made some very balls-to-the-wall statements to her about what had happened, she said, well, you're not exactly sweet-talking me. Sweet-talking you? What, you mean I need to sweet-talk you into being, what, my girlfriend now that your boyfriend thing didn't work out? Why should I sweet-talk you?
Hell yeah.
You were rude. You were rude to me. Why do I owe you sweet-talk? Are you kidding me? And by the way, you want to talk to me, now it's on my terms. And that means, if I ever had sex with you again, you're at the absolute bottom of the list after I can't reach absolutely anybody else. And by the way, the merchandise is in North Carolina. I haven't even seen it.
Wow. That's just crazy. That's crazy.
I suspect it's ballooned up a little bit. After 4 years with a boyfriend, sitting home, watching TV, ordering from Pizza Hut, eating Cinnabons, getting punched in the mouth all the time, I bet she's chunked up a bit.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
A couple of those knuckle sandwiches with some Dijonnais on them.
Yeah, and whose fault is that?
Hey! But the thing is, I'm not that kind of guy. So, of course, she bolts on me, but then comes back, you were nicer to me than the rest. That's why I'm not your boyfriend.
It's funny when I was here, always thinking about what we could have been.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't remember talking about what we could have been.
Yeah. I was perfectly satisfied with what we were. You were a sperm receptacle. You were a human toilet.
Oh, yeah.
D, thank you very much for the call.
Tom Likas. 1-800-5800-TOM.
What is it about this show that people just want to reveal their innermost dirty secrets?
I don't know.
It's like the Tom Likas confession.
The Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. From Los Angeles, 1-800-5800-TOM is our telephone number. Thank you for tuning in. Okay. Talking about this chick who called me back after 6 years. 6 years. And she was all weepy. She sent me emails. She sent me text messages, whatever. And she was letting me know that I was the only one who ever treated her nicely. I treated her nicer than the rest. But by the same token, she had told me, don't ever call me again. Remember that thing I told you about women wanting to be your friend after they've had sex with you? They're like, can't we be friends? Can't we be friends? Well, you can't be friends, because what eventually happens is the boyfriend says, hey, who are you talking to? What's this number on our caller ID? Why do you have 6 email addresses? And eventually, she will probably tell you, to get lost. Your friend, your good friend, the chick you used to bang, will tell you, don't call me anymore. But they think we're sitting out here waiting for them to come back. Are you kidding me? 1-800-5800-TOM. is our telephone number. Let's say hello here to Daryl on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Tom, love you.
Thank you.
Recent divorcee, probably about a year ago, and I've been listening to you probably for a good 2 years now. I got turned on to you by a friend down in San Diego. Interesting subject. Actually, it totally applies to me. My ex-wife, a total attention whore. You know, all the things you talk about women, for the most part, is pretty much true. And I agree with a lot of things that you talk about. Just recently, probably just a few days ago, I got a call out of the blue from her. And she's asking me what deodorant I use. And I'm like, why are you asking about what deodorant I use? I mean, if it's not a call pertaining to about our children, what the hell are you calling me about? And she's like, well, I just wanted to see how you're doing. I just wanted to see, you know, how things are going. And it's unreal, Tom, how some of the things that I have to go through. She doesn't want to let things go. It's crazy. But if we're on the other flip side of the coin of that, you know, she's basically, you know, she's done things to really, you know, basically, to cross things that basically cross the line for me. And she made it so much easier for me to get the divorce, to ask for divorce, but at the same time, she doesn't want to let things go.
Yeah,
and
it's basically I had that happen recently, too. I had that happen with somebody I had a relationship with for 3.5 years who left all kinds of things in my house. And instead of coming over and, like, packing everything at the same time and taking it along, she would come over and get one item at a time or maybe two. And that was it. So it required her to continually come back to my home. I just need that one pair of earrings. I just need that one shirt. Like that.
Yeah, it's, women, they, you know, like you said about women being attention whores, you know, if they're not getting it from one person, they're definitely going to try to get it from multiple other people. And when that fails, they'll go back and go back to their own bullpen, like they're talking about. But it's a cycle with my ex-wife. They say she's done so many things to get attention from so many different people, basically breaking our relationship up. And now when I'm kind of basically telling her that I don't want to have anything to do with you, with exception to our kids, and trying to be civil about that, you know, she's always trying to be a part of my life. And it's not to say that it's making things miserable for me. I think she just wants to do that, either be to be vindictive, I don't know. But another example is, like, for example, yesterday, my girls are going to be flower girls in my cousin's wedding. And so I asked if I could have the girls that afternoon. And right in the middle of the afternoon, she knows that when I'm on the way back, I'm going to give her a call or give her mom a call to let them know that I'm on my way to drop off the girls. Sure enough, in the middle of the afternoon, when I'm hanging out with my family and friends, she calls me and tells me a redundant thing, saying, you know, I want you to, you're going to give me a call, right, later on when you're on your way. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of like common sense thing here. And it's just to kind of just get involved with my life and to, I don't know, just make things complicated. I'm not sure if she takes a kick out of making things complicated for me, but it seems that way.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Daryl, thank you for that. 1-800-5800-TOM is our telephone number. Here's Kevin on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Not much.
Okay, well, what happened was about 5 years ago, I started dating this chick in college. And basically, you know, we're doing really good. You know, never, both of us are kind of young, still a virgin, all this other stuff. And we kind of made a pact in college and, you know, that we weren't going to go ahead and, you know, do any sort of like sex or anything. Well, what happened was,
why'd you do that?
Well, you know, because it was a Christian college and her parents are very strict religious.
Why do you care about that?
Because I respected her. That was my problem.
Oh, boy, that was where you went wrong.
I started listening to your show a month ago, and I just never heard it before. And you know what? You're a freaking god. Well, what happened was I 3 years later, I asked her to marry me, okay? You know, I thought everything was cool and stuff. Well, it wasn't until just
now. Hey, you can't use that word on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's been screwing another guy.
Wow. There you go. That she was being a Christian. She was down on her knees.
That's right. She was down on her knees.
Sorry.
Well, what happened, how I found out, was I had a gut.
So essentially, think about this, Kevin. She didn't want to cheat on him with you.
Oh, no, she didn't, because I said, how could you do this? You know what? I was dumb enough to even ask her to see, you know, try and work something out. And do you know what? I was talking to my dad about it. My dad says, why do you want used equipment? I turned around to him quickly, and I said, you know what? You're right. That's just rental for all the other guys.
That's right.
And, well, anyways, what happened was I went and I got all my stuff back from her. And, I mean, she was like, I asked her, I said, well, how, you know, how could you do something like that? She, first thing she says, you weren't there. You weren't, you know, here for me all the time. Got it on like 5 years down the drain. I'm never going to freaking trust another woman again.
There you go.
Not after that crap.
Good for you.
I mean, Tom, dude, you have brought some crazy insights to my life after I started listening to you. I just moved out here from Michigan to California.
Uh-huh.
And, man, you do not understand the insight that you have brought into my life about these women. And, as I said, you're a god to me.
And are you now getting more ass than a toilet seat?
Now I'm getting more ass than a toilet seat one day later.
I love that.
That's what counts in my book.
Sounds good to me.
And you know what? And I really hope her parents is, because get this, they're super strict, super religious, and they're Asian on top of that. So we're talking about family disowning here.
Did you talk to her family about what happened?
You know what? I was going to ask you, should I go ahead and do that? Because like a lot of her friends say, don't do it, don't do it. It's going to ruin family dynamics.
Ooh,
but the
ooh.
Thing is, how she ruined our relationship was constantly telling her parents all the bad things that I had done. Like, she would say, just because I would swear at her.
By the way, how did you find out about her banging the other guy?
You know what? I think I should, but I wanted to know.
No. You didn't hear what I said. How did you find out about her banging the other guy?
Well, what happened was, I was like, you know what? I have this huge gut feeling, so I decided, well, we're sharing a phone plan. I'm going to go take a look at my bill.
So you were paying her phone bill, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was, dude, she's calling this guy 18 times a day.
There we go.
I mean, they're talking like hours and hours and hours a day.
Okay? How'd you find out she was banging him?
Found out, actually, before that, I was like, we were at Juiced It Up and sitting down. She went into the restroom real quick, and I just looked in her purse and to grab her cell phone, because I remember a long time ago she said she had something to hide. You know, I'm just like, wow, you can't say that to me. Well, what I did was, I went ahead and I looked at her phone bill and I noticed this guy named Leon. And I'm like, what on earth? I'm like, why is she calling this Leon guy? You know, I'm not normally suspicious and I've always been really trustworthy. But I fell across him and I'm like, So I just copied his number down in my phone. And then went ahead and compared it to the phone bill. Found out in a matter of 2 months, we're talking some serious highlighting on this phone bill of nothing but him. And then I'm just
there
like, so yesterday, or actually no, Saturday, I went to her church and I'm like, just to see her. And I waited 3 hours out and I gave her the whole acting spiel of, how could you do this? How could you bang another guy? You know, how could you totally disrupt our trust?
She admitted it.
First thing she said was, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you weren't there for me.
There we go.
And so, man, no more trust after that.
You were there with blue balls. That's where you were.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, dude, I was getting PW'd all over the place.
Yep.
And I'm not putting up with that crap anymore, dude.
Well, I'm proud you've learned a lesson from this, Kevin. And I do thank you. And I thank the person who wrote to me, because this was great material. I'm going to get something out of this. Our email address is my name. It's Tom at blowmeuptom.com.
The Tom Likas Show.